Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas. And on this edition of the show, Born in Detroit has launched a new line of holiday apparel. Co-owner Anthony Tomey tells us all about it. Hanukkah starts tonight, and Rabbi Kasriel Shemtov has the details on this evening's beautiful menorah in the D lighting. The New York Times has named Coup d'Etat, a woman's clothing store on Detroit's east side, as one of the top 50 clothing stores in America. The owner, Angela Wisniewski, tells Marie Osborne she is thrilled to receive the designation. And Mark Hollis checks in with Dustin Stoltzman, Bedrock's Senior Director of Experience. They will have the latest on the many holiday events in downtown Detroit. A great show about what's happening in and around the D right after these messages. Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas. We kick off Opportunity Detroit today with Anthony Tomey. Anthony Tomey is the co-owner of Born in Detroit and the CEO of the Tomey Group. Anthony, welcome back to Opportunity Detroit.
Thank you for having me, and how are you?
I'm doing just great. I see that you have launched a new line of holiday apparel. Tell us about this for Born in Detroit.
Yeah, we're very excited. I mean, we have a bunch of new stuff for Christmas, obviously, for the holiday season. We have a bunch of those. We have a lot of different fall and winter clothes as well. You know, trying to shift over from the summer, obviously, and get some heavier things in there, some sweatshirts, some beanies, new hats, a whole new line of clothes with that. So we're really excited for that. And we're also moving the location, which is, you know, a little different. Yeah, we're moving here in the first week or two of January. Not far, about five doors down on Woodward, 1419 Woodward Ave. So after Christmas is done, we'll be moving the store over, and excited to still be on Woodward and, you know, right next to Lululemon and Salon 6.
So it sounds like it's been a pretty good idea to have started having a store in the city on Woodward, Anthony.
Oh, yeah, it's been great for us. I mean, it really put us on the map, and, you know, I wasn't really sure if it was a brick and mortar is a legitimate business for us. And it's definitely proven that over the almost two years now, that we can survive and thrive. We've done very, very well. And, you know, we're just a, you know, kind of a boutique shop. And I think people just are like, hey, I'm downtown. I'm going to go check this out. I love Detroit. I love what's going on here. And they're coming to the store and buying gear, Detroit gear. So it's been great.
Now, what does the holiday clothing look like? What's on it?
We have a few, you know, holiday like sweatshirts and hoodies and crew necks, and some of them are green and red, and it has Born in Detroit on there. Some of it has, you know, some different things with Detroit. Some of it's holiday Christmassy looking, some of it's not, right? So it all depends, but there's definitely, you can get a variety of different things. Some of the things we had last year, we kind of reordered as well. They sold very well for us and are still selling well for us. So It's been great, and we got a lot of traffic. The last 2 weeks have been amazing, probably the best. Thanksgiving, the whole Thanksgiving weekend was probably some of the best sales we've ever had. So,
oh, that's fantastic. For our listeners who may not know about
Thanksgiving, the whole Thanksgiving weekend was probably some of the best sales we've ever had. So,
oh, that's fantastic. For our listeners who may not know about Born in Detroit, give us the history of how you got started and what exactly is this store.
Yeah, I mean, basically, we bought 8 Mile Vodka. And on the bottom of the bottle, it says Born Detroit. And we're like, you know, hey, can we buy this? We're like, well, we trademarked it. I said, okay, well, we'll buy it for, you know, whatever amount. And we did. And it was kind of nothing. It was just a trademark. And we made it into an apparel line. We had fun with it. It was cool. We were online doing whatever. And then selling here and there to foundations and high schools and colleges and things like that. And then all of a sudden, we kind of had the idea to put a brick and mortar store just as a pop-up for the NFL draft in 2024. And we did very, very well. And we're like, they're like, hey, Bedrock, we're like, hey, we love what you did with the store. You know, we were sponsored, helped out with by Gardner White. They came in and furnished the entire place and set it all up for us. It was amazing. And like, we love what you guys did. You want to stay? And I said, sure. We stayed for a couple months. I'm like, okay, that'll be nice. We'll go through the summer. Tigers were doing well. Lions were doing well. And they're like, hey, we love what you guys are doing. Do you guys want to stay longer? It's like, sure, we'll try it and see what happens. And we did. And thankfully, we did, and things have been great for us. So we've just been kind of flourishing since then and starting to, you know, develop a lot of different relationships and partnerships within Metro Detroit, and things are going great for us. So can't complain.
Oh, that's a great story. Now, you also are working on a Jimmy John's in Corktown. Tell us about this.
Yeah, we haven't built a store in almost like 10 years. We've been, our expansion has been more growing by buying people out, right? Purchasing stores that are, you know, ready to, people are, about that 20-year mark, Jimmy John's, you have to remodel the entire store. A lot of people don't want to do that or spend the money to do that. It's about, $150,000, $200,000 a store. So we've been kind of buying people out, but we decided there's a few pockets in Metro Detroit that we could purchase. So we bought a 5-pack of stores, and the first one's going to be downtown in Corktown, right in the corner of Michigan and Trumbull, the old Tiger Stadium right there.
This is a good sign that you are really believing in what's going on in the city. Can you talk a little bit about that? You said business is fabulous at Born in Detroit. You're investing even more in the city. Talk about what's really happening here in Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy difference from 5 years ago, right?
Even, yes.
Right? During COVID, it was so hard in Detroit. You know, we had a really tough time. Thankfully, the other stores we had surrounding Detroit were supporting the stores. All three of our stores, we have, Campus Martius, we have the Ford building, we have Wayne State, and they struggled very much so because nobody was working downtown. Everything was remote. The students were at Wayne State. It was a very tough time. And from 5 years ago till now, The catering is back. Everyone's back in the buildings. The city is thriving. I think the draft really put us back on the map overall. People believed now it's more of a tourist attraction. I think, you know, Bedrock and Dan Gilbert have done a great job of doing everything they can for the city. And it's just, you know, Mayor Duggan did a great job. Everyone did their part, right, to make this place thrive. And you know, really nice restaurants are coming in, some nice shopping. I mean, it's really going to become what it always should have been, I think.
Now, you also just bought another new company or a set of companies. Talk a little bit about that. You are really busy, Anthony.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of sleep. I'm a big sleeper.
Like never?
But yeah. My brother and I, we just purchased a new company called, we partnered with a new company called Phoenix Franchise Brands.
Okay.
And it's really cool. It's like they basically were the franchisor of 7 different franchises, which is great. A lot of different sectors, not involving food, which is the first time we've kind of not done that, right? So we have two pet partners. We have Fetch, which is a dog walking, and a mobile pet grooming called Furryland, which is, you know, I kind of laughed when I started thinking of the movie Dumb and Dumber, right? Like, you know, you put a big dog on it and all that. But that's not, I mean, it's just, it's crazy. People love their pets. They spend a lot of money.
Oh, yes.
And just the convenience of having, you know, when you're at work, someone come walk your dog. We have a GPS. So you can track where your dog's at with the walker and all that. And then the mobile pet grooming, it's just crucial. People just don't have time to go sit for an hour or two and get their pet groomed. That we come right to you. We have a med spa. We have a door company. We have a window company. We have a spray foam solution. We've just got a lot of cool, really cool things going on. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to just grow these brands here in Metro Detroit and Michigan and even nationwide. I mean, it's really available everywhere except for Hawaii. We're licensed to do franchises. So we're really excited to get involved with these guys.
So now, would you do something like this because you believe that there's a need in the city of Detroit, Metro Detroit, even the state of Michigan for these kind of services? Is that how that works, Anthony?
Yeah, I think there really is. So Jimmy John's is on the lower end of the expense report on a franchise, right? Jimmy John's will cost you about $400,000 to $500,000 per store to build it out and do everything you're supposed to do. These other franchises are $800,000 to $1 million. So it's just not attainable for everybody. And I think these franchises are great. You're looking at $80,000 to $150,000 startup. This could be something people can do. And if they're just kind of done with their job, like, hey, I've been here for 10 years, I'm really not moving up, I want to start my own business. You hear this story all the time, right? They're making too good of money to walk away from it, but they're never going to get to that next level. And so this is something they could do. They can have their, keep their job for a little while, buy one of these franchises, get them going, make one or two or three stores, make some money. Then all of a sudden you can leave your job and then you have that nest to be able to go and grow your own business. And something like this is great. And these are all necessities, I feel like, right? I mean, everyone has to have doors. Everybody has to have insulation. Everybody has to have flooring. Pets are a huge necessity, right? You know, there's a lot of great things we can do with this. And I think people will really love when I present it here this week. This is our official announcement right now, actually. You're the first one to know. We're going to announce it here later this week, through the papers and TV and through the, you know, press release and all that stuff. So you're the first one to know, Ann.
Oh, I love it. So thank you for that. The other thing is, What you're talking about here is giving people an opportunity to become involved in being an entrepreneur and starting their own business at a somewhat, I would say, affordable level. Am I reading 100%. That correctly?
That's exactly what it is. And that's why we kind of got into it. We're like, man, this can really, you know, we've been in the business 22 years, right? We've done the Jimmy John for 22 years. And Jimmy John's is great. It's affordable for once you get going. Like, but not everybody has a couple hundred thousand dollars in their pocket, or they don't have access to a bank that would give them that kind of, give them that kind of loan. So being able to afford something like this, either out of pocket or you could get a loan for $100,000, right? It's not a $500,000 or $1 million. It's affordable to get going, to start it up. It's not necessarily a brick and mortar as well, right? So you can get people working on their own time. And it's just a great opportunity. And I think people really want to own their own business. They see these entrepreneurs going and working hard. And it's not one of those things where you can just open the door and make money. You really got to work at it. But it gives people that opportunity to do so that maybe haven't been able to do that in the past.
What kind of advice do you have for our listeners out there who may want to do this? Like, how would you encourage them to, you know what, jump in, think about trying something like this? It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. I mean, I really think it's great for anyone. I mean, as long as you're willing to put some effort into this thing, your own business will always work if you do it the right way, right? People that don't do well normally are just, you can't just open the door and expect money to come in, right? You got to do it the right way. I think it's a great opportunity because you get what you put in, right? If you want to work at it, you want to get people involved, you want to give great customer service, people are going to love that, right? Everyone wants convenience anymore, drive-thrus and online and all those different things. They want the convenience and they're willing to pay for that. And I think it's just a great opportunity for people to just say, hey, I like what I'm doing, it's good, it's a good deal for me, but there is a ceiling here. I'm not really moving up and there's not an opportunity. And I think especially this time of year, end of the year, beginning of the year, people are just like, man, I want a fresh start. I want to do something new. I want to do something different. And this is one of those things you can do, and you can make it happen for an affordable price.
Well, I love talking to you, Anthony Tomey, because you're always coming up with great ideas. And I really appreciate all the time that you've given us today. Thank you.
Always. Anytime. Always an honor to be on the show with you.
Anthony Tomey, co-owner of Born in Detroit and CEO of the Tomey Group. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit. Coming up next, Menorah in the D takes place tonight. We'll tell you all about it. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit. Detroit's largest Hanukkah event takes place tonight. It's the 15th annual Menorah in the D, and it takes place at Campus Martius. We now talk to Rabbi Kasriel Shemtov about this wonderful event. Rabbi, welcome to Opportunity Detroit.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Detroit's largest Hanukkah event is coming to Campus Martius. It's the 15th annual Menorah in the D event. Tell us all about it. This year, it sounds, Rabbi Shemtov, like it's going to be spectacular.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's interesting that we feel we're getting more interest in the event this year than we ever had before.
Mm-hmm.
So we're expecting even larger attendance. You know, it's amazing just to be here, and thousands of people will be coming down on this day, coming out into the center of the city, celebrating a beautiful holiday that brings a message of bringing light into the world, bringing warmth into the world, and light into darkness. Because that is the message of the evening, to be able to bring light to the world around us. So we're looking forward to celebrate with the thousands, and there's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of wonderful entertainment, and we're getting ready.
How does it work? So people come down and kind of describe how the whole Menorah in the D evening works.
Well, we come down to, right there by Campus Martius, and it's there's fun for the whole family. There's going to be music. There's going to be a celebration, strolling entertainment. This is before the actual ceremony. There's always things for the children. There's photo ops with the Hanukkah mensch. Okay, so they have fun with that. You have dreidel man. You have dancing dreidels. You have, balloons, animals, hats. There's crafts and games and treats for the kids. And there's just a wonderful, time of just being there, celebrating, dancing, singing, and enjoying the community. And that's, you know, kind of how it starts off. And then we get to the ceremony itself. And, you know, the ceremony is really wonderful. We have a great representation from so many different segments of the community, both in terms of the individuals that are attending, the organizations that have participated and are partnering in this effort, volunteers. We have also dignitaries and public officials from all across the aisle. You know, bringing light into the darkness is there for everybody, no matter where you are politically or where you stand. You know, this is a message that we all can agree on. And we have this ceremony where everyone's given an opportunity to be able to connect in that way. And finally, we go up on a 20 to our 26 foot menorah. There's a special lift. And we go up on the lift to light the menorah. That is probably, you know, you could say the highlight of the evening, when everyone is looking up to that 26-foot menorah and we light the candle. And together with that, we all look forward to a year of hope and light.
Isn't it incredible that something that began in 2011 with just a few hundred people has grown into this great citywide tradition? Wow.
Yes, yes. I remember that vividly, that first time we were there. It was actually quite dark. There wasn't so many lights downtown at that time. And we didn't know what to expect and who would be coming. And when 500-600 people arrived, we realized this is, you know, this is something that interests a lot of people. There was a special feeling of the connection and celebration that was taking place. And that's when we decided to create the Detroit menorah, as we call it. We turned to our designers and we established this 26-foot menorah. And that was already the second year. We were already, receiving even larger crowds. I think it doubled from the year before. Mm-hmm. And then it just kept on growing, and the interest keeps on growing. And I think it's something that unites the entire community, because everyone realizes that, we have to be there for each other, and we have to inspire each other to be better human beings and be able to be a light in the world. Each one of us could be that light. And, you know, this year we always give a theme to the year. This year we called it Illuminate. And it's more of a call to action, where it's not only you should be a light in the darkness, but you should illuminate others, you know, to go out there and search out a friend, a neighbor, a challenge, and bring light into that section of the world that you are able to. And that's the theme of tonight, that these lights that we light in the darkness, should each one of us should participate in that.
And isn't this a great way to teach children about Hanukkah?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, as you know, in Jewish tradition, everyone lights the candles in their own home every night of Hanukkah. But even in their own homes, we do it by the doorpost or by the window, because the message is to shine outwards. Okay, very unique in the tradition to have such a tradition to be doing the mitzvah outdoors, and when we do it in public, we can do it together. We could celebrate, and we can bring this message home in a much more powerful way.
Mm. And this year's event, it's my understanding, is going to feature a deeply emotional moment. Can you talk about this?
Yes, indeed, indeed. It was 2 years ago that we had at our menorah in the D, we had a young woman by the name of Ella Ben-Ami. And she was a young woman from Israel who, on October 7th, was hiding for 17 hours while her family was being taken, as hostages. And when she came here, you know, she was coming to pray with the community, to plead with the world, to see to it that her family could go free and all the others. And her message really touched a nerve, and many people connected with her. Some of them even continued, you know, being in touch with her throughout. And to think that now she's coming to Detroit with her two parents, both of them were hostages, and they're now both freed, and we can celebrate together. It's really like a coming home, and it brings home the message of our belief in miracles, our belief in a brighter future. And I think when her family, the Ben-Ami family, will be standing on that stage together with all of us, it's a moment that we can thank God for the good that we have, for the miracles that we have, and to really look forward together for a brighter future.
And, you know, you think about the tragedy, the suffering that this family has gone through, and the fact that they're going to be at this event. You talk about a light in the darkness. What a great example of that.
It is. It is. You know, I remember sitting there right before the event 2 years ago, and we had a FaceTime with Israel at that time, talking to the family about what was going on. It's just quite amazing to be. Many thought it was impossible, you know, to hope that they will all come back in this way. And, you know, in terms of Ella, her family, and I believe that it's a moment of celebration where we can all come together and recognize, you know, who we are, what we stand for, and first and foremost, the message of Hanukkah. You know, the message of Hanukkah is, even way back then, thousands of years ago, was one of religious freedom, where the Syrian Greeks tried to persecute the Jewish people for their religion. And Hanukkah recognizes that celebration of being able to, you know, practice our religion. And this is something that the United States really stands for all people. And this is a wonderful evening for people of all walks of life to be able to celebrate the message of light and the message of religious freedom.
No, it's a wonderful, wonderful event. We're talking to Rabbi Kasriel Shumtov. He's the executive director of Chabad Lubavitch of Michigan. Rabbi, are you feeling hopeful about everything that we're hearing out of the Middle East these days?
Well, we have to look forward with hope. And if each one of us does our part, those things that we can affect, you know, we all do our little act of light, and the entire world needs to participate, and we'll have a better world. So I always look forward with optimism and hope.
Thank you for your time today, and I hope you have a wonderful event. It's tonight, Menorah in the D at Campus Martius, and it starts at 5 o'clock. So that should be right around sundown, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Well, I hope it's a wonderful, wonderful event, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Coming up next on Opportunity Detroit, there's a clothing store on Detroit's east side, and it's made the New York Times list of the top 50 clothing stores in America. We'll tell you all about it. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit. The New York Times put together a list of the top 50 clothing stores in the United States. And Marie Osborne, WJR's Director of Community Affairs and News, tells us all about it.
Angela Wisniewski, the owner, is joining us. Hi, Angela. Congratulations.
Hi. Thank you so much. I appreciate this.
Were you surprised?
So there was a few tips. This has been a very long process for many of the stores. Initially, I had somebody from the Times, the style reporter, reached out way back in early summer, and it was a little mysterious. So we weren't sure. They were kind of poking around for information. They had sent photographers in.
Oh,
there were secret shoppers involved. This was a really kind of like boots on the ground operation. So the shop owners, myself included, kind of knew, but we weren't sure. We weren't sure if we were going to be chosen. We really didn't know when it was going to come out. So it was, again, I had a little bit of an idea, but I just kind of let it go. And I was very pleasantly surprised this week, especially as we are into the holiday shopping season, you know, so.
Yeah. You know what? It reminds me of the restaurant critics, right? You never know when they're going to show up, and they're going to, you know, they're going to test you and see what you've got and look around. Yeah. So very cool. So tell me what it is that you sell in the store.
So coup d'etat. So my shop, so I'm the founder and the curator and the buyer, and we have a really wonderful small team. So I opened the store in 2019. It was actually in New Center, so an opposite neighborhood in Detroit. And my goal for the shop was really to bring a nice curation of more independent and emerging brands and kind of focus on some smaller labels, but also maybe more globally renowned, and really make an interesting curation for guests and a styling experience. So I really wanted to make people feel something when they come into the store, if it's the aesthetic, if it's the scent that we're burning, if it's the music, and of course the fashion. So the curation is really a lot of brands and clothing lines. I also have many Detroit-based designers that aren't widely available even in this area and even in this region. So I thought that was a really important thing to offer the community.
So that's your retail vision, really, is to just have a space where unique things are curated and brought in for shoppers.
Yes, absolutely. And I want people to, have an experience. And I think in a post-COVID world, and as we get more and more, satisfied with convenience, it's really easy to lose sight of some of the, really amazing brick and mortar shops that are in our communities. Mm. And I do hope this article, and I'm so honored to be in such great company with 49 other amazing stores across the country. But brick and mortar shops, if you're a gift shop, if you're a jeweler, if you're clothing, it's been a very challenging year, and it will continue to be a battle, just because people are very comfortable on their couches doom scrolling. So I would love for people to take this as a reminder to step out of your comfort zone, step into stores and really support those places that keep our communities vibrant and thriving.
People do think brick and mortar is just nearly extinct. And then here you are proving them wrong, but you're saying it's a battle every day to keep the customers happy, to keep them coming through the door.
Right. And I think, shopping small and even leaving your home and not relying on the Amazons of the world and these things, I think, it's a muscle that you have to really keep exercising, to get out, even have conversations with people in real life. These are the other things that I think many shop owners, myself included, weren't really prepared for when they launched their business, how much internet and social media and these things now will be AI in the future and right now, like how are going to take over and really drive how people spend and what they support. So it isn't always, it's always a constant battle, but one that is fulfilling, I know, and I speak for a lot of my shopkeeper friends.
So how do you use any social media at all? I know of a couple of stores, women owned, and they are successful, but like you, every day it's blood, sweat, and tears to get their doors open and to put it all together. But they do use social media as tools. They do lives. They do a lot of posting. That's how they reach their, we just got this new jacket in. I've got these sizes. So that's kind of enticing people to come in. Do you do that as well?
Yes. We have a variety of things on our socials. And we really want to encourage people, obviously, to come in the store. We have a web shop as well, and it was a nice boost in, online orders this week. But it really is about the brick and mortar experience and, using social media as a tool to amplify your brand and amplify your business, of course. It's up to the consumer, however, to really do the work and, show up for small businesses.
Yeah. How have people changed, the people that come into the to the store? What do they really want when they come into the store?
So for me personally, I think the people that walk in, if they know what we're doing there, it's definitely more of a niche concept. I think people come in with an open mind, and given the space and the curation that we have, many folks who are familiar with the brand already have some sort of an interest in art and design. And, it really depends, but part of my goal and the joy and what makes us fulfilling is to really offer a unique curation and help people understand why they might want to, wear something that's
a little different than what everybody else is wearing. So it really is a mix. And I'd like to think that we do have something for everyone and a variety of price points. But at the end of the day, as a curator and as a shop owner, you know, I want to have some, you know, some say in terms of like, you know, you should consider this designer or look into this brand, because it might not be what you had initially thought. And when somebody tries something on and they wouldn't have otherwise picked it off the rack, that makes us feel really good.
Yeah, I'll bet it does. Do you, I know like the point of view of a couple of the shop owners I know, like one woman, all of her stuff is American made. A large portion, like 80% is U.S. made, natural fibers. Another one does a lot of European materials that she brings in. And so you kind of have a little mix of all that, right?
Correct. Yes, we have, you know, I have, like I said, many, many local, like Detroit, like actual pieces and products made here in the city of Detroit. Nice. I've got many designers from the East and the West Coast as well. And then I also have, you know, some other beautiful lines from Paris, from Italy, from Spain, kind of all over. And that's part of the fun, you know, that's part of the fun for me.
All right. Angela Wisniewski, congratulations, owner of Coup d'Etat. Tell us where you're located real quick so people know.
So we are at 9301 Kercheval Avenue, Suite 6 on Detroit's east side. We're part of this emerging arts district in the city called Little Village, and it's a wonderful creative and artistic community that is really doing some really cool stuff. So I think I encourage everybody to come out and shop small and, you know, check things out in the city.
Congratulations, Angela.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And we'll continue here on WJR.
Coming up next on Opportunity Detroit, a rundown of the many holiday events that can be found in Detroit. It's the holiday season. Hanukkah starts tonight, and Christmas is just around the corner. Mark Hollis, host of JR Sunday, checked in with Dustin Stoltzman. He's the Senior Director of Experience for Bedrock, and they talk about all of the wonderful holiday happenings in downtown Detroit.
When you're talking to someone who hasn't been downtown lately, what's your elevator speech of what the experience is like today?
Yeah, in my opinion, I think Detroit is really special, but especially, you know, at the holiday season. And, you know, it's been so exciting to watch more and more people make downtown a part of their holiday tradition. The city is really bustling. There's things going on everywhere, something for everyone to do. I was actually down there as recent as last night, and, you know, just to see like so many people getting to experience it, you know, themselves and knowing like, you know, how special it is to be a part of it. It's just been a really incredible thing to see this season.
If you're happen to be staying at the Shinola or at the Roost over at the Tower, it is. You open the door, you walk out, and there's so many things to do. There's some new elements that go along with a lot of the traditional. The Cadillac Lodge and the downtown Detroit markets have been part of our downtown infrastructure for quite a while. But every year you go to that, it's such a special feeling to walk through those small businesses, enter the Cadillac Lodge, have a few spirits or some nibbles, and really start your holiday experience in the Detroit city.
Yeah, I agree. I think what's really cool is that there are all of these staples and traditions, right? Like you mentioned, the Cadillac Lodge or, you know, the downtown Detroit markets, like those are staples and have been for many years. And even though it's continued to change and evolve and we see, you know, new small businesses come through and that's really exciting. But I think it's also the addition of, you know, new experiences for people. You know, Nick Gilbert Way, for example, this holiday season is brand new to the city. And, you know, just having that be a part of the entire mix of downtown and, you know, different things to do this holiday season is, you know, just really a great thing to be able to offer for, you know, the community making downtown Detroit a part of their tradition.
Nick Gilbert, considered him a dear friend. His office was right next to mine. He inspired everyone that he came in touch with through his energy, his curiosity, and his creativity, leading to things like Gilly's, which is one of the great restaurant bars downtown. Mm-hmm. We now have Nick Gilbert Way, which can continue to create kind of the personality of Nick in a way. When you come downtown and you walk between the two structures of the Hudson Building, what do folks see as they and experience as they walk through that passageway?
Yeah, as you touched on, Nick Gilbert Way, named after Nick Gilbert, the late son of Dan and Jennifer Gilbert, who passed away in 2003 from complications to NF. And I didn't personally have the opportunity to meet him, but from what I've, you know, been told, he was very optimistic and really just held that spirit for Detroit. And so I think people coming to Nick Gilbert Way this season, it's really an inclusive space for the public. It's a plaza designed for the community. It's a gathering space. It feels very festive and nostalgic while also being very modern and innovative. And for anybody who's coming for the first time this season, and, you know, we've only been operating since November in this space, but there's all kinds of seasonal experiences for people to have. There's shopping and food and beverage. We have a French-inspired cafe truck, Un de Trois, which has, you know, coffee and espresso beverages, amazing hot chocolate. There's also Forte Bellinger. They have warm donuts, roasted nuts, working with Woodward Farms as well. All kinds of vendors in this space. We also have music and entertainment. There's art. So for me, it's really something that I really am highlighting for everybody as like a must-see this holiday season. Of course, there's also a lot of nostalgic nods, right, with the Hudson's Bear. And so we have this larger-than-life, lit bear installation. We also, kind of reimagined the nostalgic Hudson's Santa Bear. And so we also have the Bear at Hudson's is what we're calling it this season, which is available at Nick Gilbert Way as well. But even, you know, in addition to that, GM, which is going to be, our anchor tenant at Hudson's, we're working really closely with them. We have, you know, different vintage car displays, and, you know, we'll have more partnership with them, of course, for some things coming soon for the public. So for me, it's just, again, really nostalgic for people who have Hudson's in their heart as part of their holiday tradition, but a great opportunity for new, guests and residents and families coming to downtown Detroit to be able to make this a part of new holiday traditions as well.
That's amazing. And I'm glad you brought up like vendors and partners you work with. Lions, Pistons, and the Red Wings. Spartans will be playing at Oakland on the 20th. You've got Hell's Kitchen and Shucked at the Fisher Building. You have to work and collaborate. You know, all of us are good as individuals. I think Dan Gilbert, Jared Fleischer, Laura Graneman with the Rocket Community Fund and Gilbert Family Foundation. We're all good at what we do, but we're better when we work together. So when you start to look at Claude Molinari and Marty Dobek over at Visit Detroit or Eric Larson and Dave Cohen at DDP, your mm-hmm. ability to collaborate with all those really delivers the best of the best for the city and those that are visiting.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, I think all of these experiences that we're able to offer and provide, like, obviously don't happen, you know, singularly, right? And I think the more that we collaborate, I think the more that we think about our partners and relationships and the community, you know, just the more dynamic the experiences that we provide are for the community.
I'm Ann Thomas. Thanks for listening to Opportunity Detroit, and enjoy the rest of your day.